Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. I do hope you're having a good day. This is the Day In, Day Out podcast. This is episode 61. Today, we had the immense pleasure of having Bess Otterantony on the podcast. She is the founder and CEO of Santel. What they do is help businesses build a digital presence. So we're basically talking about branding in today's podcast and how that can help businesses or people who are looking to start their own personal brand or business in the near future. It was very insightful. It was a pleasure to have her on the podcast. I'm sure we'll have her on again. So please sit back, enjoy the podcast. Please don't forget to subscribe. And yeah, enjoy. Have a great day, guys. Okay? Peace. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. I do hope you're having a good day. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. This is episode number 61. And today we have Bess Otterantony, who is the founder, creator, CEO, the big dog of Santel. Yes, basically she helps organizations and companies build their brands to help build consistent content, as well as helping them build a better social media presence. I hope I got that right. But if I haven't, she's about to correct me. How are you today, Bess?
I'm good. I'm very, very well. As good as can be expected after the weekend. And how about yourself?
I am good. I am well rested from the weekend. Yes, a little bit of a lazy one. Like, yes, it was mostly watching old episodes of Deep Space Nine. So yeah, catching up with that.
I can't say I know what that is.
This is the thing. If you're a Trekkie, you're definitely there. You know it is about 100%. But if you're not, you'll be like, Deep Space Nine. Like, the look you got on your face right there, right now. That look on your face you'll have, like, consistently.
Absolutely not.
Reason why I asked you to come onto the podcast today, with our corona lockdown world, you don't like the word corona, but nevertheless, it's a thing. There are going to be more and more people out there looking to either start something or build a sort of brand presence over the next 12 months, a year going forward. And yes, you happen to be an expert in that. And yeah, to discuss that today.
Okay. Yeah, I think, that a lot of people are kind of just seeing the fact that, you know, they're at home, they've got a lot of time in their hands, and the things that they had hoped to do or dreamt about doing, now is the time to perhaps utilize the extra spare time they've got and the opportunity away from the office to actually work on that. Primarily, I deal with all sorts of customers. So you've all sorts of clients at different stages. You've got some who perhaps have worked forever. And now we're thinking, okay, I've always wanted to do this. Let me try and work on that idea. And then obviously you've got businesses, because there's a distinct difference, isn't there, between being a business. Because if you're a business, you've got a product and you will sell to anyone who's willing to buy. Whereas being a brand is slightly different, and it involves brands are more than just your logo, your this, that, and the other. And not every business wants to be a brand. But a brand is much more about giving meaning to your business so that your customer distinguishes you from any other business, and they've got an emotional attachment. And I suppose that's where I help a lot of brands define that meaning through the content that they're creating, whether I'm creating it for them or giving them one-to-ones or whatever. So yeah, I think you're quite right. A lot of people are thinking about, and particularly you've got this whole space of social media where there's so much content out there and everything looks the same. Mm. You're kind of trying to say to yourself, okay, so how do I stand out? And that's where the area of branding can really be beneficial.
Right, I see. Yeah, when you talk about social media, like I think some people sort of get hung up on what is the best platform to sort of get started with. Is it going to be something like Instagram or is it going to be YouTube, or is it going to be, dare I say it, TikTok? I think there's a lot of people like going, where do I start? What do I go with? How do I build a basic
page? I think it's interesting that you use the word hung up, because I feel like they really get hung up on what platform should I be on, which platform is the best. And I've got to say, if you are really serious about this, and a lot of people on social media are not as serious about making a business, and that's fine, it's social media, it's supposed to have a lot of fun. But if you're genuinely wanting to create a business, mm-hmm. and to make it clearer in people's minds, a business is something, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Nike, these are businesses. As a business, you can't really seriously say, I'm only going to be on one platform. So if you come to me, I'm going to be like, be on as many platforms as your budget allows. You don't really have a choice. It's not that, oh, LinkedIn works because you've got to be on every platform, as many as possible, and tailor your content to the audience, because that's the only way you get visibility. If you stick to one platform, you're losing out on a huge audience. So many people who don't like, so many of your customers may not like LinkedIn, they prefer to be on Instagram. And so, you know, if you decide because you have a very corporate type of business, you're going to only stay in LinkedIn, and all your customers are deciding that they want to be on Instagram, then you're missing a huge market. And the thing is, your competition, and a lot of people don't particularly like that word, but there is competition, or people within the same marketplace will be on those other platforms, and therefore they're potentially taking your market share. So yeah, when people get hung up, in actual fact, you need to be on as many platforms as possible. It's your business, marketing. If you're not marketing as much as possible, you're not really able to meet your sales goals. And so where do you start? What platforms do you go on as many as possible, if not all of them? And where do I start? You just start. You really do just start. Like there's no rights and wrongs. And like my daughter, you know, she, you know what they're like, she's 9, she was on TikTok, and this whole weekend she's complained to me. She says, mommy, I've created this really rubbish video and hundreds of people like it. She said, now this is my point. So what I'm trying to get at is, you never know what works.
Mm.
So sometimes the best content that you create, everyone's like, meh. And then the content that you think, oh, you know, everyone absolutely loves it. So the only way you know what's right is just by starting.
This is the thing. I have, how can I say, with TikTok, I'm kind of new to TikTok, this year, because I post every now and then on there, but the thing I get caught up in is like the little TikTok comedy sketches which come up, and before I know it, I've watched, I don't know how many, hundreds. I'm like, okay, I need to get back. The sort of quality which happens on TikTok can be sometimes epic to like, how? How did that work out?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah. So the starting side of thing, I think, yeah, is really important. But tailoring, because TikTok is vastly different to LinkedIn, to basically YouTube, and trying to get that message across or trying to retain that attention is somewhat difficult. So with that, what are some of the things you would suggest to people about tailoring or like sort of like drilling down a little bit more?
I think you get a feel for it as you go along. I think it's quite interesting the fact that you said to yourself, you've said to me that you go on TikTok and you've spent a considerable amount of time on TikTok watching all these different types of sketches, which number one says to anyone watching, you know, people like yourself, when you are potential customers, are on TikTok watching a lot of content. So for those people who say, who's watching my videos, nobody of my age group is on there, number one, you've got yourself and I who are using TikTok. So that's number one, answering the question of my customers are on there. There's people like you and I, potential customers in our age group with it. So that's one. When it comes to tailoring it, you really have to do what's comfortable for you. As I say, I think you just get a grip of it. So I'll give myself as an example. Because I do create YouTube videos, yeah. I was trying to think of a way in which I could translate what I do in YouTube onto TikTok and try not to worry about the fact that it looks like there's a lot of young people on there. I'll just do what I can do. And so I created a little story on TikTok. You know, it's me walking into the kitchen drinking coffee or whatever. Can't remember what it was, but I did that first of all. And it was a lot of effort to do, to be quite honest, a lot of time put into that that I really wasn't prepared to do, but on a long-term basis. But at least I did it. I got a feeling of how I felt about it and how the audience felt about it. And the more I delve into TikTok and see what's happening, to be honest, I don't actually do anything that's on TikTok because it doesn't match my personality. But whilst watching it, I'm figuring out to myself, okay, how can I put my personality on this? How can I do what's native to me or what's comfortable to me? And I think that's how I began catering it to. I think when you say cater, a lot of it is going to come down to personality as well. And so, you know, we've got to be cognizant of our personality and also translating that into some sort of message for our customer. So we're drawing that line between doing what's comfortable to us as well as sending a message that's comfortable for our customer. And I think a lot of it is just inspired creativity and just doing. So after I did my first story tell, I had an idea of, I saw lots of kids doing these lip syncs, you know, they do the lip sync things. And so I thought, okay, I don't want to do a random lip sync. And so I think I did one for TD Jakes and I did one for Oprah Winfrey. And people liked it. So I did this.
Saw that, yeah.
You saw that, yeah. So I thought, well, people liked this. I thought, okay, fine. I haven't done any more of those, but I've tried to figure out what's native to me, what will my audience find appealing. Because me dancing, even if I like to dance, there's nothing wrong with me dancing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with me dancing if I feel that it's going to attract my customer. But I couldn't see myself learning extensive. I haven't got the time. Do you know what I mean? So that, I don't know if what I'm saying making sense, but there's so many factors for us to put into place. What can we feasibly do? What will our customers like? You know, dancing may be something that your customers like, but can you feasibly do it? You know, so that, like I say, I think there's no right and wrong. Do what's comfortable to you. I've seen this chef, what's his name, Gordon Ramsay on there. You know, I've seen the actor Idris Elba on there, and he's really funny, and he does funny sketches as well, which you don't really see Idris do in his acting role, but he's done something that's going to appeal to his customer and also something that's slightly different for that 1 minute time frame. So it's just a matter of starting. And then content, I always say content comes into three categories. It's got to be inspirational, it's got to be educational, or it's got to be entertaining. As long as you fall into those categories, you know, even if you're the most serious business, doesn't mean your customers don't like to laugh. You know what I mean? And then I don't know if you've heard of Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah, I know Gary V.
Yeah, Gary Vaynerchuk, I feel like his TikToks are still very corporate in some senses. They're still spilling his messages, but it's nothing like the average TikTok. So it's just starting. Even if you want to cut, my daughter always says to me, she says, Mom, just put a clip of your YouTube video on TikTok. People will like it. So, you know, I think, you know, we tend to overthink things. That's half the problem, isn't it, really?
I think so, yes. And I think it's a case of if your business, you fall into like, or if you're like going, you're building a brand to build into a business, I think you might fall into the trap where it's a case of, I'm trying to get customers over sort of likes and sort of like connections. And the whole thing is that sort of, how do I get that business connection when it seems like you can be very popular on any of these platforms if you copy certain things and do we're on a TikTok rant, but if you did TikTok, if you did the dances and everything like this, you could build a huge like following, but it might not be a real sort of connection with customers. Or yeah, so I think they find that a little bit confusing.
Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head, I think. And it's hard to ignore not wanting to get likes, because every social media, part of the whole process of social media is getting a like, you know, watching it, you get. And as a content creator, you expect to get a like for work that you've done. And likes are great, but they're not all of the story. You should never create content purely for getting likes. Your content should always be to add value to your intended audience. So that should be the primary. It's nice to get likes, it's hard to ignore them, but your motive should be to create content of value for your customer. And that's only, sometimes you'll get likes, sometimes you won't, but as long as you provided the value, then that's fine.
Understood. Yeah, no, I have to agree with that. But this is the thing, there is another creator, I don't know if you had heard of her, Sunny Liston.
Is it Sunny Lundazi?
Like something like that, big curly hair, like she talks about being your own boss a lot of the time.
Okay, I know there's a Sunny on YouTube and she does a lot of how to get YouTube likes, and that may be the one.
She's like a YouTube, I think, consultant, but she also does other things as well. And the sort of, like, it's very sort of interesting to see how the journey sort of changed. Same thing with like Gary Vee as well. Like you see them like talking about doing it this way, and then like you see as each month's gone by, how the sort of realm of basically building that social brand has changed over that time because of either algorithm changes, no one knows what that means, but algorithm changes, basically trends which are going on. And right now, it is kind of a bit of a weird place right now, because I think it's like social media or basically people brand building. They understand you need to build a brand, but I don't think they still understand what that means.
Yeah, branding is, it's all about providing meaning to your customer. So if you ask your customer, what do you think about my business? Whatever they think about your business is your brand, if that's how I can put it. So, I mean, I can't really explain. It's just providing meaning. And how do you provide meaning? You provide meaning through the values that you share. So, for example, somebody like Gary Vee, particularly in the beginning, he used to use over and over and over and over. Constantly, he would say things like hustle, hustle hard, hustle hard, hustle hard. So when you think of Gary Vee, you just think hustle, 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 hustle. Yeah, you still think that now. So it's things like that, really being quite consistent and persistent in letting your customers know what your values are. And if that strikes a chord with them, it'll be easier for them to connect on that emotional level. And that is your brand. It's what you stand for.
Yeah. With regards to sort of building that brand, like sort of to take you back slightly with regards to when your daughter said, yeah, just do a clip of your video and put it up there. Is that sort of coupled with consistency? Because like if you did that, say once a week or once every day consistently, that is more of a strategy, as long as you're getting something out there and it's like sort of conveying your message, rather than sort of like, you know what I mean, post and then 6 weeks later post again.
Yeah, no, most definitely. You have to, I mean, you have to get something out there as much as possible. Don't just get something out there for the sake of it, which is, again, not something that some people do. Be strategic with your getting out there, but most definitely, it's just not enough. If you're thinking of being a brand, you're thinking of having huge, or even if it's local, visibility. You want to be very, very visible. And so, yeah, you cannot achieve that if you post today and then post 6 weeks later. No, absolutely not possible. You could argue that some people get away with things like that. You've got people like Beyonce who posts but she's already there, so you can't really compare yourself to the likes of Beyonce. And then because I deal with content marketing, so yeah. If you look at content marketing in the grand scheme of things, it's not just in social media. So Beyonce is always creating content, whether it's with her music, whether it's an article in the newspaper, there's always content. But I mean, she's not the greatest example because she's so huge, she doesn't need to create content. But if you're not as big as Beyonce, you will be forgotten about. You will be not taken serious. Who are you? People just won't think you're serious. And I always think that you have to distinguish between content creators and content consumers. And people want to consume content. Just the same way they want to go on television. They want to go onto their computer or their phones, their devices, and they want to see great content. And you need to put yourself in the position of... what do they say now? I know a lot of content marketers will say you've got to think of yourself as a media company, and you really, really do need to put yourself into that position, because actually marketing, particularly in these times, actually forms a huge part of your business these days. You've got to be providing a lot of media for people before they decide, okay, I'm going to buy A, B, or C that you're selling. So if you're thinking of being a brand, it goes without saying, you will not get seen or taken notice of if you're not creating that content. And as we know now, that people are making decisions based on the content that they're seeing before they're buying it, they're Googling it, they're seeing what they've put on their social media, who likes them, who doesn't. So if you're not there because you posted 6 weeks ago, then you've missed out again. And also, I mean, it doesn't matter how great your product is. If you're not being seen, no one will buy you.
Indeed. This is the thing. I know there'll be some people that go, yeah, but that's like what you're saying is all fine and good. If you're a fashion brand, say, or if you're like, you know what I mean, if you want to like be some little media agency, but like we deal with like cement, we build stuff and everything like this. How can that help us in the world?
You know what? Let's be real. It's not easy. It's not easy. I take, for example, myself. Going on Instagram was difficult. I could barely remember that I had Instagram on my phone. Do you know what I mean? Every time you get a new social media platform, it takes time to get used to it. And so you have to kind of know that you have to do it and keep trying to make sure you build it into your work some way, somehow. You just have to get used to it. So now all of a sudden, now Instagram's like nothing. And it's the same with TikTok. My daughter was like, Mum, have you checked your TikTok? Have you asked? So I have to now build that into my, into my work. And I'm getting used to it. I'm clicking on it now. So it just has to be something that, it's like with exercise, we start out, we don't like it. We have to get used to it. And so, if you're a cement layer, every time you're going to do some work, you're recording yourself. It doesn't have to be that fancy. You're talking about what you're doing. You're taking before and after pictures. So any business can incorporate. You've got your phone in your hand. It doesn't take seconds to take pictures. And I learned from my friend. I mean, I know I'm a content marketer. And so I have to create content for other businesses. That's easy to do. I get paid for it. Don't have to think about it, because if I don't do it, I get the boot. When it came to myself, I found it harder. But my friend, every time we go out, I'd be on the phone, click, click, click. I'm not that type of person. And I don't think you have to be that type of person, right? But you have to know that this is my business. And so some way, somehow, I have to find a way to create content and put it out there every single day in a way that's easy for me. You may be the type of person who needs to document everything in your life. fine. You may not be, and so you need to find ways that are suitable for you during the day. But it may be that you keep going at it, you keep going, knowing, if you know in your mind that it's essential for you to put out content every single day. Didn't get it right next day, last yesterday, fine, but tomorrow you'll try again until it becomes natural.
Yeah, I hear that. Like, the thing what amuses me is that your daughter has become your unofficial TikTok manager. I don't know what you've been doing, but I don't see any TikToks here. can you get with it? I have been feeding you, child. I have dressed you and clothed you, and yet you're like, I don't care about the other job. Where's the TikToks? Where's the TikToks?
It's good to have them on board, you know. Yeah, it's good. It is definitely.
Yeah, something what like this sort of ties into like something you talked about with your last YouTube video, from what I've like observed. Empire State mind, like with Jay-Z, the rapper, basically how he built his empire.
I read the book the other day, I think like a week or so ago. So you have to think big, and you know, Jay-Z says, you know, he thinks of himself as a business, and I think you really need to more and more put yourself in a position. If you're going to be a business, if you're saying to yourself, I want to get out of this lifestyle, I want a profitable business, I want this, that, and the other, you've got to think that way. It's not a you don't really have a choice. You've got to be thinking, have a vision, and all this, take all the steps that take you to get there. And Jay-Z is very particular in that he every interaction, every business interaction that he has, he's making sure that it makes him money, basically. And if you're going to have a business, you need to do those things that that are going to make you money, essentially. I'm not saying money is the be-all and end-all. That's a conversation for another day. But, you know, on at a basic level, we've got to get serious about things. And if social media is one of those ways that requires us to bring visibility to our business and attract our customers, and we're saying we're a business, then there's no excuses.
This is the thing. I would say it's a case of the way, like, Jay-Z, yes, he might be very sort of money-oriented, but I would say he, like, if you took that and put it to something else, he's very agenda driven. So if he was in a basketball team, it would be like, okay, need to win the game to get the championships. This is going to be the best ways of doing that. Work on this, work on that, work on this, boom, championship. And I think that is the important thing with many sort of like anyone who's going into any enterprise. And I think that's what people can use with regards to if they were using marketing or new media with that, they've got to realize that there's got to be a agenda at the end of it. If it's coming down to bringing more, like getting more customers, that's one thing. If it's about bringing more attention to business, or if it's about informing people, this is my company, like this is what's going on, and this is the company what's brought you that information, doing it along those lines of things. I might be wrong about this, but if I am,
I think you, like, as I said, I think we're saying the same thing, to be honest. You know, I'm a strong advocate of have a vision, a very realistic vision that you see, this is the end result, whether it's winning the basketball game. Mm. Once you have the vision, you then have to take the steps to get there. And I think that's what, as you say, Jay-Z has an agenda. You know, this is the end result. Now let's take the steps to get there.
So with regards to yourself, how long have you been doing this for now?
I got into web design so long ago now. I've got to think of the dates. Okay. So in 2020.
Yes.
I think I started doing web design, was it about 2003, 2004? My children. That's my child. One moment, I do apologize.
No worries.
This out, but the lighting on my side is quite dark.
Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. You should have seen what it was like when, like, I've recently changed everything with my setup.
Okay.
Basically, I have this window you see here was behind me, and like in the beginning, I like had sort of really thin curtains. It wasn't some blackout curtains.
Okay.
So it looked like every time, it looked like when the sun did its thing, it looked like there was an alien invasion, or I was about to be abducted behind me. And so I was like, okay. So it changed over the curtains, so it would be like, yeah. So it'll be all dark at the back, and I'll have a light on me. And so it looked like I was like, yeah.
Okay.
I'm actually interrogated, but like, yeah, as you can see, with the new setup, I have the gift of natural light on my side. So yeah. So yes, like, I'm happy with this.
Yeah, okay, it's fine. I was a bit concerned, but it is what it is. If I'd known, if I tested it, but there you go.
No. You look great. Put it this way. I have seen worse setups. I've seen worse situations when it comes to that. It's like, one guy that had a sort of like microphone, like sort of screen around it. I was like, that was mostly my fault, because he was like, I thought this was only going to be audio. I was like, no.
Yeah.
I was like, sorry about that, mate. It's okay. But this is the thing. Yeah, the way I've got it set up now, I think it's going to stay like this. So it's like, good. Like, I invested in a little bit of more equipment. So when we are out of lockdown, I shall be able to travel and then do, like, either get people in, or I'll be able to travel to them and, like, do the podcast there. But it's, like, one of those things where it's investing in myself and trying to get this done properly. It's one of those things, starting it was, how can I say, I went, yes, I'm going to start a podcast. This first of all in October, signed up, everything like that, got everything registered, doing only recordings of myself, giving it like, yes, this is me, Raddy B, this is day in day out podcast, this is episode one with myself, me, Raddy B. I did that for a couple of episodes, put a pause on it, then sort of got things up and running, interviewed my girlfriend first, sort of get comfortable, interview a couple of people I knew, then I jumped in, boots and all, end of November, with the first person, who wasn't anything to do with me over, I screwed that up first time around, because, I was using Skype, one thing, and it was like, yeah, I don't care what anyone says, if you're doing a podcast over the internet, Skype is not the way to go. It is a painful, horrid process, because it's like, okay, if you get it to record each like off of Skype, you're like, okay. If you're running it through OBS, for whatever reason, OBS will run it sometimes, then it will drop it out, then you've got to set it back up again. So like, you've got to then make sure if the person comes on, you've got to double check, make sure that's all working properly. It's just so much friction behind it all. I would never recommend anyone doing it over Skype or OBS. Zoom, which what we're using right now, Zoom, I just 2 weeks before lockdown, I discovered Zoom. And I was like, okay. Like, so let me get this straight. I download it. I like send them a link. It automatically downloads. And then they are up and running. Yes, I was like, oh my God. And like this is like that in that 2 weeks, 2 weeks after that, the whole world and their dog knew what Zoom was about. Like basically, you know what I mean? So it makes this infinitely easier. And like this is the thing. I got to say this, like the videos I've watched of you on YouTube, got to say, yeah, you come across very well. You've got a very powerful voice, liking it. a lot. And I think, yeah, if you did do a podcast where you had like people on, I think that would come over really well. I couldn't find, like, if you have got a podcast where you've got guests, I couldn't find it. Sorry. I couldn't find it. I tried, but I couldn't find it.
But not with guests. It's actually, it's a more of a spiritual journey podcast, a sort of diary podcast. So I thought, because I already do the YouTube and I wanted something a bit different. So I don't have anything serious in terms of interviewing guests and all that sort of a thing. In actual fact, what happened was I had for the whole of just before the lockdown, I had a list of guests lined up, meeting rooms booked and everything for YouTube. And then the lockdown came along. And so, yeah, one of those things.
Now, what I'd simply say is, yeah, get back on it. Because look, I think, look, this is the thing. I won't lie. Like, Zoom has pretty much, I would say, put a level playing field on quite a lot of people who are doing this right now. I think it's going to be very advantageous. And like, look, if you had those guests lined up, get them lined up again, because look, I think, like, yeah, just being able to get that conversation going, get that conversation flowing, because let's just say in this topsy-turvy, crazy world we're living in right now, conversation needs to happen a lot more. People need to be a lot more visible, because it's a case of, yeah, building, like, the reason why I'm talking about people building brands and doing stuff like this, because I'm not a doomsayer or a naysayer. Like, hard times are coming, and like, you know, with those hard times, there are going to be people who want to start business, because when a recession hits, the biggest time of growth I've observed, every time after that is just after that time of recession. So if people are not being able to, if people are not learning how to build brands, if people are not sort of learning how to take that initiative with certain things, they're going to miss out a lot. And I don't want people to miss out a lot. And look, this is the reason why I'm talking. I've set up this podcast so I could learn and still grow. Like, I'm a chap in his 40s right now. And as you know how it is, as each year goes by, every 5 years, your sort of, like, your social circle gets a little bit smaller, smaller, smaller. And it's just like, yeah, you talk to less people, not less if you're forced to. So This is one of those things where I'm trying to force myself to keep on growing, keep expanding, keep on learning. And yeah, by talking to people like yourself, other people out there, give that opportunity to talk to, gives me an opportunity to grow, and hopefully gives other people the opportunity to learn as well. And there are many a young person, old person, and people who are like going, yeah, like, it's the end time for me. I'm just waiting for my couple of years, claim that check, see ya. It doesn't have to be that way. And like, the whole thing is, like, you can live a rich life when you're young, you can live a rich life when you're in the middle, then you can live a rich life at the end. It just comes down to what you do, how you go forward in the world. And giving people the opportunity to learn how to, like, build a brand, build a business, or build something else. It might not be this, but it still might need something to build a brand behind it. If you've got a charitable cause, you still need to do that branding. If you've got you're going to do an event, you still need to get that branding still done. And I think too many people overlook that simple fact. And when they're doing that, it's going to be a thing which is, they'll miss out, I think, on a lot of opportunity.
I think it's a bit of a shame, actually. I think people don't really grasp, number one, I think before, whether you were a brand or not, when we were talking about brands then, we were saying, you know, Coca-Cola is a brand and I'm not a brand. But I think with the onset of social media and so much content, you know, we have dogs who have their own social media profiles. You know, I mean, so if you cannot find a way to stand out, it's almost pointless. There's no, you are missing out, and it's almost pointless because you're going to struggle for anyone to take. I mean, if you're not branding yourself, if you're not making yourself distinct, if you have no personality, then why should I favor you? And what you find is there's a lot of, if I may be honest, there's a lot of social media, even at influential level, who do and say more or less the same thing. And so they're getting more or less an equal cut of the pie, if any at all, because just because you're an influencer doesn't necessarily mean you're earning loads of money. But unless you're able to distinguish yourself vastly, then there's no difference between whether I watch you or her or him, you're all more or less the same. So you need to find a way of really showing your personality, really standing, like you mentioned, if you're a charity, really standing on these causes that you have, these values that you have, make sure that your audience says, okay, I prefer her because she really appeals to what matters to me. So where in social media, there is so much content out there, being a brand has become essential for people to prefer you over everybody else. And even more so, becoming a brand should be desirable to you. If you are saying, I am a business that wants to take a huge part of the market, I think so. You know what I love about social media, as I talk though, it has made it, because what you have found is when I was a kid, you had a lot more, even on the local high street, you had a lot more niche boutiques, if you like. So you had your little clothing stores, you had a lot more of those where you don't have any more, because you've got big shopping stores, and obviously social media has meant that people with money are able to build these powerful marketing campaigns and take a look. But social media is now allowing a lot more niche boutiques to come online. So there's a lot more of them. But you still, if you really want to make it easier for you to increase your market share, stand out, brand yourself.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, one of the things I'll definitely say, which is going to be, we're only at the start of it, but I think this is the thing where brands are definitely going to play much more of a bigger part as well, is when voice comes into play. Because that whole thing is, we can do a search on Google right now, say for batteries, light bulbs, say, and we'll get a whole list of light bulbs. When you're talking to, say, like Alexa, and you went, yes, I'd like to have some batteries, please. It will give you the batteries, but you won't actually be able to see all the sort of choices behind that. Or basically, like, yeah. What, Siri? Like, yeah, that's the other one. Apple's one, which I don't really use because I've got an Android phone. Don't talk about Apple. But you get what I mean. Like, because they're going to just be like, okay, you want this? We've got you this. But it's like, right, if it was like, yes, I want some Duracell batteries or I want a Philips light, then it'll be like, okay.
Yeah, that's true. That is so true. That is so true. So it's going to make a huge difference, because being a brand as well makes you memorable. It's what people remember you by. Yeah. And so I was saying the other day, so for example, we've got like restaurants and food places. I'm going to talk about that in a video that's coming up. But like they tend to rely on showing us beautiful pictures of their product. Yeah. But that doesn't make you, if I could see lots of photos of food from restaurant and go, oh, I like that food, I might visit there one day. Mm. Unless I make a booking there and then, I'll probably forget who they were, because there's 101 beautiful. So you need to find a way to stand out and brand yourself. And you've got, and like you say, when voice comes into play, people will just choose the brands that they remember. And the brands, for example, companies like food businesses that do well, are the ones who aren't just sticking these beautiful pictures of their product. They're actually having stories that they tell. They're actually building these communities and connections and creating different types of content. They're on all the different types of networks as well. And people are remembering them a lot more.
Yeah. That's going to be the tricky one. But yeah, no, but like this is the thing. As I was saying before, like the telephone went off with regards to how, like you got started. How long ago did you get started in here?
Sorry. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry about that. So how long ago did I get started? I can't remember. Let's say about 10, 11 years. Mm. But about 7, 8 years, I've been doing content marketing. And that was a bit of an accident. So I started off doing web design. And actually, I didn't like social media. I wasn't on social media. I hated it. It just seemed to be a place where everybody was having loads of fun. Yeah. I was not having any fun, and I didn't want anybody to know that I was not having fun. So I didn't want to be on social media, but I had to go on it because I started a web design business, and I needed to get people to know about my business. And so I went on social media, and what I used to do is to sort of make up for the fact that I wasn't out clubbing and doing all these wonderful things that everyone else seemed to be doing. I would just tell stories and try to make them funny. And I still sort of do that now. So when I'm on my Facebook page, most of the stories I tell are funny. Oh, Bess, you're so funny. So that's what I used to do then, tell these funny sort of anecdotes, if you like. And back then, when I started, fortunately for me, and I'm kind of bragging, if you like, it wasn't so usual for people to get 60, 100 likes, right? But I was getting them unintentionally. But I wanted it for my web design. And people would say to me, oh, you know, once they'd finished their web design, they'd say, oh, Bess, I can see you're great at social media. Can you manage my social media for me? And I thought, oh, okay, if you say so, I'll do it then. So, you know, I went from hating it to thinking I was great at it. And so, and then I had to obviously learn a lot more about, you know, how to write content, how to be visible, how to get clients. And I naturally gravitated towards the branding side of it, and so I incorporated all of that into the work that I do. So that's how I started. Actually, it was purely by accident. I was doing web design. People thought I was great, and they say, now you've done my web, can you set me up on social media? Can you manage my content for me? Mm-hmm. And that's where I saw the business opportunity, and I started reaching out to businesses and asking them if I could manage their content, essentially.
Superb. So have you moved away completely now for web design, or are you still dabbling in that?
I do a little bit of it because some people still know me for that, and they'll call me up and recommend me to their friends. And so, yes, I still do it, but I do the content marketing a lot more, and I enjoy it, and I get to work with all sorts of different types of businesses, small, big ones. So yes, so not so much web design these days.
Mm. And like, this is the thing, like, how many, like, I imagine your team's grown over the years with this, or is it just a case of you got a trusty band of 3 or 4, or you out to take over the world? I don't know how you're constructing a small Death Star, who knows.
At the moment, I have 3 people who work remotely for me. Yeah. But not to the size that I would like to hope, I'm hoping for. I suppose these things do take time. But, you know, I think I'm understanding the market more, and I'm understanding the requirements more. And so if I can leverage that and build my business, then I probably am looking to have more full-time staff on board and really manage those contracts.
Because I was speaking to a young lady called Rebecca, and she basically helped ladies with their finances and stuff like this. So she's like a financial advisor, and one of the things she was like talking about how she was leveraging just basically being able to do more was just basically getting more people remotely in, like virtual like assistants and stuff like this. And it's gone from like where she was really sort of stressing about time and just getting things done, it's just helped free up the sort of bandwidth she has on a day to day, and how it's basically helped her expand her business and like helping her moving forward. So like, yeah,
Yeah, definitely. You definitely need more hands to help you to grow. Otherwise, it's a lot of work. And with, especially with content marketing, where it's literally a 24-hour job, there's lots of design, there's lots of research. So you've got to imagine if you're dealing with perhaps a finance company or a hairdresser's or a fashion company or a research and development company, you've got to understand their business. And some of these businesses can be quite complex with lots of rules and regulations. And you've got to understand all of that. So yeah, the only way really to grow is to have people working for you and you say, you know, you look after these accounts. And then, yeah, that is the best way. And then just getting more accounts and giving them to more people. So yes.
This is the thing. With regards to all your years working through doing different social media for different companies, like large, small, what has been the most sort of more unusual requests you've got from companies with regards to their social media?
I can't say I've had any really. None really. They're all more. I think with content marketing, I think what tends to happen is the business that you're working with, they've hired you because they know very little about it. And so I suppose they trust you to do the work and to tell them what needs to be done. So I've never really had any odd requests. No.
Okay. Not just like, yeah, no, we want it like this. Okay, we have.
I do get that on the web design part.
Okay.
really awful requests. It's interesting because the other day I was scrolling on, and this will be a tip for you maybe, I was scrolling on Instagram. Yeah. A web design company had put a quote up and they said, you know, stop asking for your logo to be bigger. And it's like one of the things that every single person who asks you to do their design work, whether it's a leaflet, it's always, can you make it bigger, 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 bigger? They just want their logo to be so big. I think that's one of the frustrating things when working with people who are just getting new to business. They focus so much on their logo.
It's like, yeah. Can I have it bigger, please?
It's always bigger. And sometimes I'll try to anticipate that. I'll go, you know what, Bess, you know this person's going to ask, make it big. And they still say, can you make it bigger?
Just a little bit bigger.
Never bigger. Never big enough.
A little bit more. Okay. Okay. Yeah, okay. You can't make it any bigger because the front page is just your logo.
It's just your logo.
Just your logo. Would you like some form of content on there? And we keep the logo the same size.
Yeah. Honestly, trust, if you're going to hire a designer, trust their expertise. If they've made your logo so you can hardly see it, honestly, they know why they've done it, you know. So I don't know if this is the time to go into why having big logos is not really a good idea. But yeah, if you are hiring any expert, trust their expertise. And also, when you start to demand things that the expert thinks is wrong, you then make it hard for them to actually give you their best as well, because they kind of feel, well, if you know how to do it, why aren't you doing it yourself, sort of thing. And also, you build up a bad relationship. If you're going to hire an expert, that doesn't mean you haven't got your own ideas, that doesn't mean you have any guidance, but if they give you a reason why it is not good, try your best to trust their judgment.
Like, yep, if I ever came to you for design work, I promise I will not ask for the logo to be any bigger than what it's like recommended. I'll just simply go, yeah, can I have my logo over two screens, please? Yeah. Because it's all about the company and the logo is
good. Exactly, because everybody's buying the logo. Everyone's like, what's the logo on this?
Yeah, scores of stuff. Oh, loving it. With regards to the sort of like social media game, has there been sort of any sort of influencers out there or people you just see like really playing the game well, or like basically above above board?
I don't know. I must admit that I try to stick away from watching too many other people's stuff. Mm-hmm. Because I don't like to be influenced, if you like, and I like to draw my own conclusions and my own thoughts. So as much as I would say I like Gary Vee, I try not to watch too much of his stuff, because otherwise I'll end up spewing what he says. But let's see. I mean, I think there are some people who create content that I think I like the way they've done that in an original way. Doesn't necessarily mean that I stand for what they stand for. Mm-hmm. I particularly love Casey Neistat. I love Casey Neistat. Who else can I think of? I think I'll tell you who, I can't remember them all, but I've only got a small repertoire at the moment of people who I admire. But there's one guy, what's his name? Oh my goodness. I respect him for the way he's managed to attract his clientele. Not necessarily something that I agree with, but I definitely respect him for. I cannot remember his name for the life of me. He has a kind of a Mexican kind of a name, but he's also in the same realm as Gary Vaynerchuk. And he usually has content where he's showing himself in a large mansion with... Ty Lopez. Is it Lopez?
Yes, I know the guy. Yeah. always on with a pre-roll of anything you watch on YouTube.
I respect the fact that, I don't know how he's got his cars or whatever, and he has all these beautiful, scantily clad ladies around him. And he's definitely done that in the past. I don't know if he does that so much now. But I respect the fact that he obviously understands his audience quite well. And even, I tell you who else I respect in terms of content is 50 Cent. Really respect 50 Cent because he really understands what his audience wants and he gives it to them. I suppose there's, I really like 50 Cent. I respect Ty Lopez for his craft. I can't think, Rihanna's another one who has been very good. I tell you who else I really, really respect, and I do actually watch quite closely, and it's only in terms of content creation, is Kim Kardashian. I do respect the Kardashians for their content creation, and so I always make sure, because I think that they are almost like the queens of content, if you like, so they've pretty much got their pulse on what's trending or what their audience will like, you can kind of, they kind of are either very in tune with the mood or in fact setting the mood. So there's lots that you can learn from them in terms of understanding your audience and catering for your audience.
Yeah, like this is a thing, when you mentioned the sort of Kardashian clan, like if anyone sort of like dominated the realms of social media over the last sort of pretty much since the inception of Instagram going forward. They are it. And look, all I've got to simply say is, if someone, like, it's one of those, over the last sort of 5 years, if you spoke to me about 10 years ago, I had my opinion of the Kardashian family clan and how they sort of operated. And look, it wasn't a very high opinion, but over the course of time, they have proven themselves to be very savvy with business. They have proven themselves to be very savvy with media. They have proven themselves so savvy, Kim Kardashian is getting many an innocent fella out of prison at this present time. And I think they will, not a lot's gonna stop them for the next, God knows how many years. I think they'll be on whatever is next quite very well. When you mentioned Casey Neistat, if this was 4 years ago, him uploading videos every day, putting out content, a person I like, who, he's a tech YouTuber, his name is Marquez Brownlee, MKHHD. He's one of the number one tech, in my opinion, he is the number one tech YouTuber about it. If you want to know about phones, if you want to know about computers or sort of high-end tech, he's the person to talk to. And from I've sort like when I started watching him when he was in his sort of college dorm, you're like, I'm right. But when like you see one of these first like first few videos, he did like he had he I think it was like 87 subscribers, and he was doing something like 90 videos, and then we fast forward to today, he has over 10 million plus subscribers, like so respected within the industry. It's like, yes, he talks to like Tim Cook in Apple. He talks to basically everyone. Everyone wants their product on his channel.
Wow, that is amazing. Yeah, that is amazing. I think that dedication, isn't it? You've got to be able to say to yourself, this, you know, this is what it's, you've got to put in the work, basically. And I've, you know, as you talk about that, you remind me of some other YouTubers that I've followed from their inception to now. And you think, you know, they didn't overthink. I've only got my phone. I've only got my this. I've only got my that. I know it's harder to get away with a poor quality video. So you do have to try your best, but you should never let it put it off. And yeah, you have to give tons of respect for those people. And generally those people have, they've owned their craft. They've also given us lots of personality as well, which has made us draw towards them. I can understand why you would say that. Yeah, that sounds amazing, actually. And the thing is, people always want to jump the sort of journey, don't they?
I think people don't sometimes respect the like number of steps it takes to get to the places they need to do that. When they sort of like, oh, okay, yeah, I see that person who's big on this like particular platform or big on another platform, they don't actually look at all the little steps or go in between. Uh-oh. Bess, you still there? Okay. Yep. Heard this way, yeah, sometimes when the internet doesn't play, it doesn't play. But yeah, it's all good. It's all good. No problem at all. But where was I? But with some of the people who are really sort of pushing themselves out there with regards to sort of social media content creation and stuff like this, I think they are been doing some outstanding work, as I mentioned with the Kardashian family, how they've changed over the course of time. Now, I think it's a case of when new people come into it, we're doing that hard work and consistency, because I think people look upon it and think of it as being very easy, because the amount of people I've seen go, I'll be a YouTuber, I'm not going, like, are you aware of how many people are trying to be a YouTuber? Are you aware of how many sort of YouTube channels are out there? Oh, I've got my niche. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. If you do makeup or like, if it's a, like, Lasser Lives like into makeup, you've got a number of people competing against. If you're doing tech, you've still got a lot of people to compete against. If you're just doing like business advice, you still got a lot of people to compete against. Yeah. So like, yeah, be prepared to go hard, very hard.
You have to go hard, yeah. Mm. Yeah. It's very hard. And I think people should try to avoid doing what everyone else is doing it. Do it because it's good for you. Mm. Don't just become a makeup artist because that's what you see everyone else doing. And the reason why I say this is because we see people wanting to do these things and sticking to a finite number of subjects, whether it's makeup or whether it's tech. And people have vast skills. So you'll find people who trained all their life to be a doctor suddenly deciding to be a beauty YouTuber, and that you've got all this wasted knowledge. Mm. Fine, if you want to be a beauty YouTuber, fine, by all means. But also, like you say, it's such huge competition. Be sure that it's something that you really, really want to do. Or do you have a passion that actually really is a niche, because nobody else is talking about that, and the information you could provide is of immense value to a lot, to even if it's not to some audience. So yeah, you know, you don't have to do what everyone, you know, that's where people started, and now there's opportunities to do so many things. And it's even better for you if you are new in a new niche, because no one's seen it before, and people want to see new things.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, we've been talking about how it can help other people, but with regards to yourself, like, so what do you sort of see as the next sort of 6 months to a year of growth for you in regards to the realms of this sector, say?
I tell you what, I mean, it's tough. As we've already said, social media is tough. My focus, obviously I want to grow, want a larger audience. Mm-hmm. And my focus for the next 6 months is saying, okay, what is it that I really want to get out of this? What do I want to do? Irregardless of money, what is it that I'm really trying to achieve here? And so it's focusing on that vision. So I've spent a lot of time, I'm quite interested in the African market, for example. So I'm quite interested in lending my skills, if you like, because I feel that in Africa, you know, we talk about there not being this resource and that resource in Africa, and the politicians and the politics are a mess and this, that and the other. Yeah. But I do know that a lot of African people are on their phones, and I think they should make use of those phones. So if the economy is bad, people in Africa should be making use of the opportunity that social media is affording them. And I think there could be real growth aspects in the tech sector of Africa. And I think the youth in particular should take advantage of that. And so I'm quite interested in making sure I get my message out to people in Africa. And I think that's a huge focus for me the next 6 to 12 months, to be quite honest.
I think with regards to the realms of Africa and potential growth, this is the thing. I would say, yeah, Africa basically will need a hand or two, but I'm going to say Africa in the next, say, 10, 20 years, there are going to be some significant moves. There most really are some significant moves going on right now, which I'm ignorant to, because I have, haven't been keeping my finger on the pulse with what goes on on the continent of Africa right now. But if you're talking, Nigeria, if you're talking South Africa, Nigeria, the most populous, number one GDP country in the whole of the country, continent. South Africa, very close behind it. Ghana, these are many places. Kenya will be, I can see, being a major hub in the future as well. Yeah, they're going to definitely be pushing forward because, as we all know, with businesses, huge corporations, they move around their sort of enterprise and stuff like this. And I think Africa will be their next port of call, where they will start to invest in, where they will start to build more factories, and where the infrastructure will go up tenfold. And when it comes to sort of getting online, it's same thing with India. More people use their mobile phones. So it's going to be a case of, when you've got telephone masts being put everywhere, it's going to be easier than laying down cable. So I can just see it getting bigger and better. And I don't know when they might put in 5G in Africa. I don't even know when they're going to put 5G fully in the UK. So, you know what I mean? That might be, I think, maybe in the next 3 to 5 years over here. It might be on the same time scale in Africa. It might not be. But I still say, there is a fantastic realm of growth out there. I think your instincts serve you well looking at that. So when you say lending your services, would it just be more of a consulting gig, or would it be something more practical?
I think mean, the more you talk, you're kind of expanding my mind, if I have to be honest. But I honestly, my focus has just been on young people who are probably disenchanted with the, you know, the state of affairs in Africa, the ability to get a job, you know, things are looking fairly bleak, and then they go to university, they can't get the job and all that sort of thing. So a lot of the time I've got all this content out there, and actually I when I say lend, I literally mean I'm making it for people who live in African countries who I think should start using social media as a way to break those economic barriers, start creating their own things, start selling around the world globally. I don't know how feasible that part actually is, but start thinking about, you know, online services that they can provide. So the thing that got me thinking about this was this sort of move from call centers in England to India. So we had a time when we had all these call centers in India, and a lot of the time now what Indian people do is they offer you their services for a lot lower rate in India, you know, web design, SEO and all that sort of thing. And I think I would much rather, you know, I'm African, I'm of African descent, my parents are Nigerian. I wouldn't mind actually asking from people from those countries to do those sorts of services, SEO. And I think that's why I'm passionate about sharing my knowledge so that people from those countries can start doing things that people in India have done, lending their services, web design, SEO, building up businesses, selling online. You've got China who have, you know, what's the Jack Ma business?
Alibaba?
Yeah, Alibaba. You know, setting up things. I don't know what the infrastructure is. I know it's probably not as black as white as I'm making it out to be. But making a start is where we need to be. And I want to be a part of sort of opening people's minds to those opportunities and saying, you know, this is what you should be doing. Don't wait on the government. Because, you know, we have that kind of narrative in Nigeria, in Africa, you know, the government rubbish. So it's rather than waiting on the government to fix things, what can you do? You're always on your phones. I know for a fact, people who live in Africa, we complain about there not being infrastructure, but they're on their phones. So you use it constructively, start making money.
Just with this sort of quick conversation, like back and forth, like I would say, try to find out what the most popular phone in, say, Nigeria or Ghana or basically in Africa is. Like, say, find the top three most popular phones. See how much editing power these phones have, where you can edit on the phone rather than have a computer, and then basically go right this, like, and just sort of do tutorials like on the, like, this is what you can do on this particular model phone to like come out with content which you can do X, Y, and Z, and sort of run sort of an academy along those lines. And then basically all you do is you either update it every 18 months or 2 years when they update. So you know what you can do with that phone. So it's like, right, if you need to upgrade your phone, you go, okay, this is still relevant for that phone. Like, yeah, if they haven't updated things out of it, go, this is still relevant for that phone. But if you want to do this now on this phone, you can do it on this phone. This is how you can get it. And, like, you know what I mean? Bring out content like this to promote your business amongst, well, African communities.
I see. Good idea. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah, I know there's some limitation on the technology, but I've never really thought, not living in Africa, I've never really thought of things like, you know, the phone's not doing everything that you need to do. But even if it's a simple record, recording a video on your phone and putting it up on YouTube, any phone can do that.
Yeah.
Any phone can do that. You know, even if it's a simple video for, you can take pictures on Instagram, you can use LinkedIn. So I'm not even talking about anything really fancy. I'm talking about the very basic thing, making use of that phone that you've got in your hand to build a business, to bring visibility, rather than waiting for on your loins or trying to get a job. But this is the age where we create our own jobs. And I'm not seeing, I may be wrong, but I don't think I'm seeing African people in Africa do that quite so well. And I, as I say, I do understand, you're quite right, the technology, the iPhone 5 cannot do what iPhone XR or whatever it is can do. You're absolutely right. But I'm not even talking about doing anything complicated. Getting your phone now and just recording something. talking something, sharing your gift, LinkedIn, you know, putting out what you know, building up your visibility, because content doesn't have to be that spectacular. In all honesty, do you know what I mean? We start with what we've got and then we get better. And that's, I think that's my main sort of focus, really.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Production values don't need to be through the roof. It comes more down to how the story is presented to get connected with people. Like, jumping back to what we were talking about, seeing some TikToks, which you like, and how the hell does that actually get any attention? But it does get attention. Yeah. But like, if you look at early YouTube and you're like, oh my God, like you look at how did people get all of this attention with regards to really like dodgy cameras, lighting, everything like this. Today, you kind of look at it and go, oh my God. Like the thing what made me laugh is during lockdown, when you saw all of these sort of late night presenters having to come onto YouTube and trying to do their same thing. And like, I was just like, I looked at them, I was like, oh my God, I know 13, 14 year old like content producers who will eat your lunch. And that's why, thank you very much. You are rubbish. No. I think if you can, like if you did like some type of academy which was focused into the African market, I don't know what your sort of policy on sort of ad spend. We haven't talked about that with regards to like getting messages out on social media, if it's just organic or paid for. But if you were doing sort of paid for sort of ads, just targeted into those
Nigeria. Yeah, absolutely. I think that makes perfect sense for me. For what I think is a worthwhile venture, I definitely think that's worth doing. I agree. I like that idea actually, because I'd love to be a part of that sort of movement. Obviously, in addition to what I do here, fine. I think there's real opportunity.
And like this is the thing, and that. It's a dirty little secret, but like no one really likes to talk about it. But empowerment comes through education, and that's economic education mostly. And if it's a case of you want more people to basically get better lives, it comes down to educating them more. So giving them that empowerment, giving them that ability to sort of like go, okay, I've started a business, okay, I've made it grow to this, and then basically like talking about something bigger and grander, that's another subject for another time. But to say, we have a nation of people who run their own businesses successfully and looking to go out into the world further, like do bigger, better things along the way. Yeah. I think that is something which this could be one step towards that.
Yeah, it's a nice vision to have. Let's see how it goes. I know things are always easier said than done, aren't they?
This is the thing. You are absolutely right. The whole thing is, like, when we always have that surge of inspiration, it's like, it's going to be my day. We give it 3 months. Yeah. I was like, how's that day going?
It's definitely my focus. It's definitely been my focus for a couple of months now, and something that I will focus on and see how it goes.
I'm liking that. Well, yes, I shall see what I can do to give you a helping hand with that along the way.
Cool.
No problem. We have been talking for a little bit. Like, if someone was gonna like looking to start something like yourself, what would you recommend them to do?
I don't know if I've got recommendation, more of advice. And I think if you're going to say to yourself, I'm going to start something, be realistic about what you can start. So don't say, I'm like, for example, the idea is becoming a YouTuber. I'm going to be a YouTuber. I'm going to be posting one every day. Da, 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 da. And then you run yourself ragged and then realize you can't do it. So be very realistic about whatever it is you want to start. And also for me, I think you need to sort of live, eat that vision. So, you know, you're waking up, you're thinking about it, you're thinking about it, you're never giving up. Even things will always go wrong. They will always go wrong. The times that you go wrong, it's for you to figure out the lesson. What lesson do I learn? How do I keep going? And I think that's my advice, is sort of live and eat your dream. Think about it all the time. Set yourself realistic goalposts and just stick with it. That would be my thing. And really think of yourself. Take this sort of, and I say this almost with a pinch of salt, but you need to sort of take yourself seriously, if that makes sense. Because I get a lot of people who will come to me and say, I want to start a business. But I'm not sure if they really take what they're saying seriously, or they understand the magnitude of being a business. So you kind of, if you're going to say, you take it, it is a business. And the day you say it, you are a business, and you're thinking about the transactions you're making and that sort of a thing. I'm not saying that everyone from the get-go, everything's going to be rewarded monetarily, but you've got to think of yourself as a business who's making these transactions. And you've got to sort of live, eat and sleep your business. I don't know if that makes sense.
And that basically, you've got to basically eat, sleep your business, your dream, your hopes, your desires. If you're not doing that, it's going to be that much harder. And like the whole thing is, I would say, yeah, I would also marry that with, you've got to also have faith in what you're doing, because the reason why I say faith rather than belief, because there is going to be times where your belief is going to be tested on what you need to do on a day-to-day basis. With faith, it's a case of, yeah, that fuels your belief and then basically fuels your desires, fuels your hopes, and basically helps move you forward. Well, it's going to be that thing what pulls you towards your goal, pulls you towards whatever sort of destiny you have in mind. And when you lose your faith, that's when people lose their way. So it's most important to keep hold of that. And look, some people are like, oh, what do you mean spiritual faith? It can be spiritual faith, but it could be faith still in yourself or in the team you build around you. And with that, that's how you can make your business grow. That's how you can make your dreams grow. That's how you can basically push towards those things you desire in this world the most and bring on that sort, that form of greatness. As I
said. Yeah, 100%. You're right. I think faith is I think I was saying that, like, faith is actually the hardest part of the job. Like, you know, imagine when you've got nobody liking your video, no, everybody's ignoring it. Faith is a hard work. It's actually the hardest part of it. When things are really bad, believing that you're still getting up and still doing it anyway, that's faith. Yeah, that's probably the biggest part of the job. You're right.
Yeah, because like this is the thing, like if someone went to you like 12 years ago and went, there's going to be this thing called social media, you'll be making a living from it. You'll have a team of like 3 to 4 people under you. And yeah, you'll be looking to start a project to help people in Africa as well, maybe like by 2021. And yeah, looking to expand your business. Social what now? I make websites. Is that
kind of... It's so true.
Now, like, you know what I mean, look at you now.
Gotta have faith. You're right.
And like the whole thing is like going forward, still believe, like having that belief, faith in you going forward, and yeah, knowing you'll make the right moves. And everyone stumbles and falls at some time.
Yeah.
As Denzel Washington says, fall down 8, get up 9, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's like, yeah, keep moving forward, I say.
Yeah. Oh, brilliant.
yes, would you be possible to tell the lovely people out there where they can find you on the web and all of that?
I'm on all the networks: LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, TikTok, Pinterest, and it's my name, Bess Obaratini. I'm on those ones, so I'm on all the major networks, I should say. Bessa Baratini. That's me.
Perfect. What I'll do, I'll put that in the description as well, in the show notes, so they can come around, find you, and yes, take part of your sage advice, as they say.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure. I've enjoyed chatting. I can't believe we've spoken for over an hour now. It's been a good chat.
If people were in the room with me, they'd be like, hey, what are you doing for the next 4 hours? What? I've got you some food, don't worry. Okay. Excellent. I'd like to say thank you, Bess, for coming on. You have been a superstar. You've been amazing, been fantastic.
Thank you for having me, Muyoa. I appreciate it. I'm glad you called me, you contacted me, actually. It's out of the blue, but yeah, really nice. I enjoyed doing these, so thank you.
No problem. I'm happy you're happy. I'd like to say thank you to my friends. I'd like to say thank you to my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Stay safe, stay well, be excellent, be fantastic, be superb, be all the positive bees you can be in this world and more. Have a great day, guys. Yeah. Peace. Aha.